You got to get passionate about this thing. If the cross doesn't move you, nothing will move you.
I'm offering you something that's greater than silver and gold. I'm offering you something that's greater than an increase in your pay on your job. I'm offering you a...
There's no shortcuts to the glory.
We've got to get past week-to-week living. We've got to multiply our prayer life. We've got to multiply our effort.
And we are willing to give. God will always give it back to us in good measure, that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Hey, thanks for checking out our Christian Life Church podcast. You will be hearing from one of our pastors or guest speakers, either at our Frankfort or Lebanon campus. Prepare your hearts and your minds to receive a word from God. Thanks for listening. Enjoy and receive this message.
Message. What a great word. Welcome. I'm glad you're here this Easter Sunday morning to all of our guests. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Looks good in the house this morning. I hope it looks like this next Sunday morning. Amen. John chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 5 will be two places that which I will take a text today. John chapter 1. And Revelation chapter 5. John 1 verse 26. John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Revelation chapter 5. And verse number 5, and one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. By the help of the Lord this morning, I'm going to speak what I believe the Lord would have me speak on this Easter Sunday morning. I'm going to talk to you for a little while today about the lion and the lamb. The lion and the lamb. Father, we need your help this morning. I stand in need of your help today. Lord, I pray that you allow the Spirit of God to overcome and overshadow, Lord, your word today in a powerful way. Lord, let it settle into the hearts of people today, every man and woman in this room today, that they may receive the word of the Lord, that your spirit may be manifest, that your power and that your name may be glorified. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. In biblical theology, the lamb and the lion are viewed as both foundational and integral to the message of Christianity. The Lamb of God, the coming Messiah was promised the Israelites, and it was the promise that they had been waiting for many generations. As John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, as the King James Version may state, as John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," John was preaching of the one that was to come after him. That was the coming Messiah. We know him as Jesus. While John was preaching his notorious message of Jesus, the Messiah, he saw Jesus walking toward him. And he looks at those people that were there, and he declares to him and announces him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In the Old Testament, the Lamb symbolizes many of the characteristics of the coming Messiah: his gentleness, his innocence, and his meekness. The Messiah, it was prophesied, would come as a lamb. We see the typology of the Lamb and Christ all throughout Scripture. He would not come aggressively. He would not force his way in, but as a lamb, Christ, the Messiah, would be led as a lamb to the slaughter. The Lamb of God is perhaps the most important metaphor in the New Testament. In Hebrew, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There were so many reasons why that Jesus is described as the Lamb. In the Old Testament times, the law of Moses required that the children of Israel sacrifice a lamb from their flocks and their herds. They were to sacrifice a lamb for every family. Every family needed a lamb. If the family was too small to consume the entire lamb in one sitting in the evening, they were to find another family and come together, and they were to share the lamb. A male lamb without blemish was to be chosen, and they were to offer it. They were to offer it heart. It was their best, it was their first, and they offered it voluntarily unto God. The lamb symbolizes the embodiment of Christ's innocence, and the sacrificial lamb was the Hebrews' means of providing redemption and atonement for humanity's sins. In this context, the Lamb of God speaks clearly of his divine grace, which brings salvation to all mankind. It doesn't mean that all mankind are saved or will be saved. It means potentially every man, woman, boy, or girl has the opportunity to be saved because the Lamb was slain. It's interesting that in his first formal introduction of Jesus, John chooses to use this simple metaphor of the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This tells us so much about Jesus and his purpose to atone our sins. His first formal introduction to the world as he steps on the scene following John, the forerunner of Christ. Now Jesus, prepared to move into his earthly ministry, is introduced. "Hey world, let me introduce you to the Lamb." Jesus was truly the sacrificial Lamb. He was the Lamb for sinners slain. Only his blood will take away the sins of mankind. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I borrow from My friend, Brother Joel Urshan, as he described it at men's conference this year, he said, if there was no lamb, the song would be, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing. But because of Jesus, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We needed a lamb. Jesus, the Messiah, became the lamb, and he was slain for our sins. Oh, let's thank him this morning for salvation and redemption through his blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb, the lamb for sinners slain. The implication of him being the Lamb of God, of course, has eternal significance. Jesus was prophesied as the Lamb of God, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Isaiah 53, I read from. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's what the Lamb did for us. All we, he says, like sheep have gone astray, and we turn everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on himself the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. See the Lamb? He opened not. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison to judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put to him grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering of sin, verse 12, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgression. John simply describes all of the prophetic utterance of Isaiah as he describes it. John summarizes it, puts it all up, and puts it into a matter of just a few words so that we could understand it. John simply describes Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Isaiah takes about an entire chapter to describe it. John takes one sentence and says, hey, ladies and gentlemen, behold the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. It's just that simple. You've got to know Jesus. You've got to have Jesus. He is the only one that can redeem you. He is the only one that can take away your sins. It's not really that complicated. It is that we need the Lamb. The Lamb of God, John says, he is holy. The Lamb of God, John says, he is harmless. The Lamb of God, John says, he is undefiled. Only this Lamb had the power to take away the sins of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Apostle Peter taught the early saints that only through the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish that our sins can be redeemed. See the transition? We just left the Old Testament now into the New Testament. That thread weaves all throughout the Old Testament from the book of Genesis all through Leviticus and all the way through the prophets and now into the Gospels and now into the messages to the church. And he declares he is a lamb without spot and blemish. It's the only way man's sins can be redeemed. Over and over again, the scripture says that Christ was the Lamb without spot and without blemish. In Revelation chapter 5, Jesus is described as a conquering lamb. He comes in as a lamb. Everything Jesus did before they ever laid him in a tomb and before he resurrected on the third day, everything Jesus did before they laid him in a tomb, he did as the lamb. He was born in a manger. He was led as a sheep to the shears. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He was despised. He was bruised. He was rejected. He opened not his mouth. He gave him his life in ransom. It's all a lamb. But everything Jesus did after the resurrection, he no longer did it as the lamb. After the resurrection, he came forth as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Before Calvary, he was the Lamb. After Calvary, he was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, was both the Lion and the Lamb. Just as commonly as he was referred to as the Lamb, he was also referred to all through Scripture as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion speaks of his power, of his majesty, of his authority, of his strength. As the lamb, he was slain, but as the lion, he resurrected from the grave on the third day. The lion and the lamb is the perfect symbol representing the messianic age. As the lamb, he is the sacrifice, but as the lion, he is the resurrection and the life. He endured death as the lamb, but he devoured death as the lion. As the lamb, he was wounded, but as the lion, he triumphed over sin for us. As the lamb, he was beaten, but as the lion, he brought forth from the beating and the stripes on his back our healing. As the lamb, he was chastised, but as the lion, he brings forth our peace. As the lamb, he paid the price for us all, and as the lion, he overcame it all. As the lamb, he opened not his mouth, but as the lion, he retreats for nothing and roars over everything. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the lamb that has become the lion. He will not always be silent, but there is a point when he will roar over everything. Oh, let's give him glory in the house this morning. His followers didn't know that Good Friday was going to be Good Friday. We call it Good Friday because we know what happened on Sunday. See, it's Good Friday to us because we know the message of Sunday, but his followers didn't know Good Friday was Good Friday. For his followers, it was Dark Friday. For his followers, they followed him with the long, looming silence of Saturday. They didn't know his silence on Saturday would end on Sunday, but Jesus did. Listen, I don't know who I came to speak to this morning, but I know that the Lord sent this message for more than one person in this room today. The Lamb may be silent in your situation for a while, but he won't always be silent. It won't always be Saturday, but the lion will soon roar and God will speak again. I don't know who that word is for this morning, but between Friday's crucifixion and Sunday's resurrection was a Saturday without a word, but he didn't stay in the grave. A Saturday without a voice is weary, but I came this morning to tell you, Easter is here, Sunday is here, the resurrection is here so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Ooh. My Lord. Between Friday's crucifixion and Sunday's resurrection was a Saturday without a word, a Saturday without a confident voice of the Savior. It's not just that he was not there. It's that they could not hear his voice. They could not see him. They could not feel him. And they could not touch him. That may be where somebody is in this room today, living in the silence of Saturday. Yesterday he was my lamb, and tomorrow he will be my lion. But what about today? Yesterday's lamb and tomorrow's lion is doing little for me on Saturday. What about today? There were a lot of things that happened on Friday. On Friday, there were mobs and mocking. There were soldiers. There were followers. There were mourners and there were haters. There were rings of the hammer and screams of the people. There was blood, sweat, tears, and agony. There was pain and suffering and death. And then there was the stillness and coldness of a tomb. Then there was darkness and silence and the lack of his presence. On Saturday, it seemed that their world had stopped. The crowds now were gone. The mourners were gone. It seemed that death had won. God had become silent on earth. No preaching, no teaching, no testifying, no healing, no miracles, no signs, no wonders, no hope, no help, no wonder. The tomb was sealed. Only the soldiers were there guarding the tomb. There were no words of hope. All was silent, sealed within the tomb. Until now, their lamb was dead. They were living in the brutal silence of Saturday, left without a voice of a Savior. I'm not sure who I may be preaching to today, but maybe you're walking into this building or listening online, experiencing the silence of God on a weary Saturday. Maybe you're frustrated because God hasn't answered your prayer. Maybe you feel like God hasn't even heard your prayer. Everyone else is hearing from God, but you haven't received your word. Someone else is receiving their healing, but you're not sure that he even knows where you are. Everyone else is being blessed, but you haven't felt his touch. You're beginning to question. Your faith may be weak. You may even be starting to wonder if he knows or if he really even cares. I want to tell you today, if I just described your situation, you're just living in the silence of Saturday with the temporary absence of his voice. But I came on this Easter Sunday morning and rise to this podium to tell you that the silence of the Lamb is not final. I spent all this time, 25 minutes, building to this one point for somebody, while you and I would like to bypass the days of silence. And while we think that silence is a bad idea, God is wanting me to tell you today that the silent Saturday may just mean that God is working something out for your good that you can't even see him working. While the tomb was sealed and the world remained silent, Jesus was not in the tomb. I've seen it all over Facebook the last few days as people mysteriously make these crazy posts like they removed the stone so Jesus could come out. But listen, the stone was sealed, but he wasn't there. He had already gotten up. Listen, the only reason that the angel moved the stone was so that Mary could see in and see that he was already gone. There's nowhere in the text that it shows where they removed the stone so Jesus could come out. Oh, it's great in Easter dramas, but it's not in Scripture, because while he was buried, put in the tomb, and the tomb was sealed, he got up, but he didn't need a door. He just walked through a wall, and now he's going to appear to the disciples through a wall, proving that the whole time he was at work. You think it's a silent Saturday, but I came today to tell you that God's working behind the scenes. He's working for your good. He's leading captivity captive. He's preaching to spirits that are in prison. God's at work in your silence. It may have been silent on earth, but it wasn't silent in the spirit world. Don't let the silence sealed tomb affect your faith today. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that he's not working for you. While you're struggling on Saturday over the sacrifice lamb, the lion has already gotten up and is walking through hell, so you don't have to. And he is preaching to spirits that are bound in prison. Hey, spirit of addiction, I have news for you. The lion has spoken on Resurrection Sunday. Hey, spirit of depression, don't think you'll always rule my emotions as a child. But the lion is about to speak again, and somebody is about to come out of depression because the lion has gotten up. It's easy to be discouraged on Saturday. No voice, no word, no Savior. But it never has the final word. Discouragement never is the final word, because the lion is about to speak new life back into somebody that hasn't heard the voice of God for a very long time. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. There's one thing to feel him. There's another thing to know the unction of the Spirit is upon you. And he has anointed this preacher to walk to this pulpit on this Easter Sunday morning in an unconventional way to tell somebody he's here to save you. He's here to deliver you. He's here to bring you out. He's here to resurrect you. You may have walked in here today knowing it's been a long time since God has spoken, but get ready. The lion is about to break the silence in your life. If you'll allow him, he will work. If you'll let him, he'll do it on this Easter Sunday. I know you came in looking beautiful today. You came in dressed up. You came in looking sharp. But let's get beyond the clothes and the ties and all the aroma of the perfume and the cologne. And let's get down to the fact that we're living in the dark Saturday. But God is wanting to speak life. He's wanting to resurrect somebody. He's wanting to give you a hope and a future. Child of God, You've been faithful. You won't always be distressed. The lion came to give you victory. To the one that's dealing with discouragement this morning, you won't always feel that discouragement, because the lion has come this morning to bring you encouragement. Because listen, a lamb comes in sheepishly, but the lion comes and says, I see the nasty teeth of the enemy that is coming against you. I see the evil words that he's speaking. I see the spirits and attitudes that he's throwing at you. I see everything that he's doing to you every day and every night. He's waking you up in the wee hours of the morning. You're having dreams that are becoming nightmares. You are struggling in your way through life. A lamb has already done his work, but the lion says, I'll come and I'll triumph over everything. I came as the lamb to pay the price, but as I came as the lion to set you free and to declare it, death doesn't have a grip on you. Sin doesn't really have a grip on you. That issue doesn't really have a grip on you. The lion's grip is greater. You won't always feel used up because the lion is coming with all power in his hand. You won't always been worn out with it because the lion is coming with strength and with power. I'm just preaching the word to you this morning. As sure as the sun will rise in the morning, times of refreshing shall come. But it doesn't come in the world. Times of refreshing only comes from the presence of the Lord. Silence of God only lasts for a season. He's not only the lamb, but he's also the lion. His silence is for a season, but his word will triumph. His word will bring victory. The voice of the lion will bring you out. He's not only the lamb, but he's the lion. The lamb laid down, but the lion got back up. The lamb was wounded, but the lion came forth with victory. The lion, he overcame the world. As the lamb, he was tied to a tree. As a lamb, he was pierced in his side. The lamb was buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, the lion got back up. The lamb became the lion. The victim became the victor. I close with this morning. Maybe God's voice has been silent for a season in your life. Maybe it's been a while since you've heard him speak. The resurrection is proof that he will speak again. David said in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The lamb weeps, but the lion brings joy. Here's my final thought. Mary and Martha were weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. Their beloved brother had died. Mary says to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 25, Mary, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You may feel like it's too late for you. Lazarus was in the tomb long enough that his body was decomposing. There would have been an odor. It was too late, they thought. But then along comes Jesus. Listen, child of God. Listen, saint. Listen, man or woman in this room this morning. Just because you failed God, just because you may even have the odor of sin on your life, doesn't mean it's over. For I preach to you about the one who is the resurrection and the life. He looks at them and said, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Your life's not over, child of God. Your life is not over. Jesus has another word for you. The final chapter of your life has not yet been written. On this Easter Sunday morning in 2024, a brand new chapter of your life can start afresh and anew. That last chapter that you wrote and thought it was the final chapter, that's not the final chapter, because the Lord still has some things he wants to say. God wants to speak life into you. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Stand with me all over the room this morning. I'm going to open these altars today and give you an opportunity to step from where you are and walk to the front of this room. Not because I'm just making an invitation, but there's somebody in this room today without a shadow of a doubt that's been walking without a voice, without a word. It's been that silent Saturday for you, and you showed up this morning just to be at church on Easter Sunday, but God's met you here today. And he's got your number, and he's called you to write where we are right now. It's not over for you. The final word has not been spoken in your life. God has another word for you. He has a fresh start right here on this Sunday morning. I open these altars and invite everyone that is in this room to step to the front of this room. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, if you need to hear that voice speak afresh and anew, if you need to hear his word again, step to the front of this room. There's plenty of space. God bless you. There's room.
He's still moving.
Keep coming. Keep coming. Gather in close this morning. Don't stop in the aisles. Don't stop in the aisles. Keep coming. Make room this morning. Step forward this morning. Let's fill up the
front. How great.